another international episode of The Ranveer Show. This one features Jose Zuniga, more famously known as the YouTuber from the YouTube channel Teaching Men's Fashion, but less famously known as the serial entrepreneur. He began his entrepreneurship journey while he was a teenager, failed a lot, learned a lot, got super motivated. And you know what? This episode is primarily for teenagers and young adults. If you're looking for some motivation, if you're looking for some fiery inspiration, listen to this man's story, listen to this man's mindset, listen to this man's perspective of how he's taken one YouTube channel and grown multiple businesses out of it. That's the big criticism when it comes to YouTube creators, that people, despite having this massive platform of YouTube, despite having accumulated so many followers and subscribers, are not entrepreneurial enough. And here's a dude who's running a men's lifestyle channel, not an entertainment channel, not a channel that rakes in millions and millions of views on every video, but he's still absolutely killing it in the YouTube entrepreneurship game. 100 years later, when YouTube may not exist, you know what's going to exist? The products and the services that you've built that stay on after you die. That's what Jose Zuniga is building. So, if you want perspective on what it takes to build out greatness in life, we feature Jose Zuniga on The Ranveer Show. Mr. Jose Zuniga, what's up?
What's up, Ranveer? Bro, I've been seeing you pop off, bro. Like, it was time that we sat down.
For sure. I think half of India's YouTube watching audience follows TMF.
I got love for India, bro. Like, you guys are... We were talking a little bit about this pre-show. You guys are strong. As a country, you guys are strong, bro.
Yeah. I think that's the power of numbers. There's just that many people. Like, I remember having this conversation with Alpha M. I told him that he had given this reference point of 7 years to 1 million. And I'd written that down on paper. And it took us like 2.5, 3 years to hit that number purely because of the number of people in India. So that's what goes on here.
Crazy, bro. Crazy. The amount of like just followers you guys, yeah, just amount of people, bro. And I see them in the comments. It's impressive. I haven't seen a more, I think you guys are some of our most loyal following, honestly.
Right. Now, you seem like a super entrepreneurial guy. And I've seen this trend with American entrepreneurs in general. You guys are really well informed about the rest of the world. I mean, the top Indian entrepreneurs, it's the same. They know about everything that's happening. That's why I want to ask you, how are American entrepreneurs, and I'm not talking about like a Bezos or Elon Musk, but say someone who's kind of just started out, who's done something that's become stable, how do you guys look at India and China and the East generally? Do you all think of expanding here? What goes on in your heads?
In my head, it's definitely expansion. It's all about trends, right? And I've been paying close attention to India basically, mainly because of what I have, right? I have a worldwide base and seeing the trend of just the amount of people from that culture that are seeping through. And not only that, I can see the trickle down effect where you guys are, your middle class is growing, right? And when you mimic the Jeff Bezos, the Facebooks, and the TikToks, and you see that, well, TikTok now got banned, but you see these guys, like, for example, I sat down with my YouTube manager, and they were telling me, yo, they're building apps specific for India, right? That's how important this nation is. So as an entrepreneur, if you're our businesses are all worldwide, I have close eyes on India, right? There's certain barriers to entry, right? There's still a lot of risk and stuff like that involved, but definitely always keeping an eye out, knowing that, you know, there's a gold mine. There's a huge market there, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I want to ask you your story super quick. I know you run it with your brother, Maria. Your sister is also involved.
Yeah, that's my sister. Yeah, that's correct.
So, you know, while people just watch you on YouTube and they think that, okay, Jose is this YouTuber. Jose is not a YouTuber. Jose is a part of like this organization that's building out right now. So could you take us through the story? Like, what happened?
I'm going to try to make it as quick as possible because I usually get into like a sob story when I talk about this. But long story short, started this when I was 16. I was in high school at the time. Started with an Instagram account. This is when Instagram was just on iPhone. I don't know if you remember those times. Like, it wasn't even on Android. Started posting little pictures here and there. And funny enough, my brother was the one that opened this account. And just to show how kind of like of a spoof it was, hence the name. He literally just named it Teaching Men's Fashion. Talk about a more simple name that you can think of, right? Never in a million years did we think we were going to build it to what it is today. Long story short, started it there. Solid traction building up, right? Because at the time, this was 2012, 2013 time. There was a lot of interest for men trying to dress better at that time, right? This was like the suit phase and dapper phase. That's the phase we're talking about. And started growing a lot. So I opened a YouTube channel. Following that, figured, you know, video would be much better to be able to express messages and teach stuff. And it worked really well. Now, the sad or the tough part was that I've always had entrepreneur like run through my blood, right? Like, I've had car wash businesses, grass cutting business. Like, I've done it all, right? And my parents were not wealthy by any means. So I'm an immigrant to America. Well, I was born here, but my parents were immigrants to America. Honduras. So that's a country in Central America. It's one of the poorest countries in, I think, Latin America, if I'm not wrong. So very, very low class. But my parents came here and, you know, they always taught me hard work because they started bare bones and just they worked and they always provided, right? Mm. So we always had what we needed, but we definitely didn't have like excess by any means, you know? We were lower class and we were just working our way up. And during that time, I would always do like side hustles and stuff like that. Nothing ever major. When this started popping off, I opened my first e-commerce store, which at the time were custom suits, custom shirts, etc. Long story short, I was 18. This was my first actual business incorporated with, you know, the state of Florida. So it was legit, right? I was CEO of a company, so I was hyped up. Long story short, I think within the course of a year and a half, I was about 15K in debt. Now, as an 18-year-old kid, my credit cards were maxed. My company credit cards were maxed. And again, my parents were low income. 15,000 in debt felt like a million in debt, right? It was the worst time of my life. Like, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't go out. I was just choking, right? And after trying to salvage it for a while, I just, you know, bit the bullet and I was like, you know, I have to close this down. I'm losing too much money. Every month I was losing more money than I was actually making. And it was a great learning curve. You know, we can get into that later down. Long story short, that was like my low point. I'm a faith-believing man. I believe in God. So I've always said that he gave me that extra push, right? I remember being in a very low point where in my mind, I'm 18, 15 in debt. And in my mind, the only thing going through my head was, why can't I just be a regular college kid? Like, why am I putting all this stress in my life where every time people ask me, yo, how's your business doing? Like, I had to put a straight face like, oh, it's going well. But inside, I know I'm a failure, right? Like, it was like the worst feeling possible going to sleep every night. And when people saw you working hard or I would be working at it, they would either laugh or be like, why are you doing that? You're wasting your time, right? So in my head, it was like, why can't I just be a regular college kid? Why don't I just dump this, finish my degree, and, you know, live a regular life? Why am I putting this stress in my life, you know? Thankfully, I decided, let me try one more time. And that one more time was it. I started really focusing on the channel around 2016. And I think I was sitting at about 30,000 subscribers. That first year when I sat down and focused on the channel, I took the channel from 30,000 to 150 and racked in about 350 grand in revenue that year. So I went from negative to like multiple six figures. It was a massive blessing and I would work relentless. When I tell you I did not sleep, it was like Monday through Sunday just working. At that time, which was kind of unheard of, this was 2016 time, I was doing a video every single day, Monday through Sunday a video, you know? Back in the day, that wasn't, you know, nobody was doing stuff like that, especially in the men's style realm. All I could think about was growth. And yeah, that was pretty much the start. And then from there, it just started blossoming, which we can, you know, cover along the way.
How old are you today?
25.
Wow, that's crazy, 25. Man. But I think because you started that business that early, in a positive way, I think it mentally aged you. It's in a good way.
Oh, 100%. Everybody says I'm too mature for my age. You meet other 25-year-olds, they're not... They look completely different, you know, and you're right. My goals and my ambitions are way different, right? They're just way, way different, you know?
Yeah. You know, I follow you on Instagram and I saw that you had a baby recently, man. Like, and that's
blessing.
Crazy.
Talk about a blessing.
You're younger than I am and you already have a baby. So I don't know what kind of perspective that's given you as a guy.
But talk about motivation.
Yeah, I want to know that. What's it done?
Hunger. It's relentless, right? Like now, if before I wanted to do it, right, if I wanted to make it, and we'll talk more as we go, like I still feel like I haven't made it. I still feel like I got like a mountain to go. I'm just starting, right? And having a kid and a wife, right? Motivation, first and foremost, right? Like I want them to have the world, but moreover, I want to build something that's generational. I don't want it just to be me, right? I don't want to be Jose Zuniga, the millionaire or whatever. That's nothing. I want something that they can have long-term, right? Generations from here. And, but yeah, it's just motivation. You know, I see them and it's like, I love them so much. I can't fail, right?
What happens to a guy the first time he holds his own baby?
Oh, you tear up. Like a baby.
But what happens? What happens in your head?
It's so surreal. Like, it's hard to explain until it happens to you, right? Because my brother went through it and I experienced it through him. It ain't the same, right? When you hold your own flesh and blood, it's like, that's your generation, right? That's the next step, right? You're no longer thinking, oh, I'm going to die at 80. You're like, what are they going to do? And what am I going to do to jumpstart their life, right? And it's like, it's crazy. On top of that, if you do it with somebody that you love, like I am in love with my wife. My wife is the woman that was made for me. I've said that a million times, right? When I met her, I told her the day of, I'm going to marry you. When you do it with somebody you love, it's not only what I just talked about, the motivation. It's also like, this is what your love created, right? That's what you're holding, right? The fruit of your marriage, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And until you're ready, I don't think nobody should jump into it. I'm not definitely saying go and have a baby, but if that's something you want, doing it with the right person, you won't regret it, you know?
Dude, are you still connected to like your Latino culture, like your parents' heritage? Like, are you still?
Yeah, very much.
So I'm sure there's a part of you that kind of contrasts it against American culture sometimes because you've grown up in one culture, you're carrying another culture inside you. So what is Latino culture made of? And I'm talking about both positives and negatives. And how does it apply to your head today?
All right, let's talk about positive. Positive is very family oriented, way more family oriented than American culture. American culture is very loose, right? Latino culture is very more emotional, I would say. Mm. And emotional, like, not soft or weak, but emotional, like they show more emotion, right? Like, let me give you a physical example. Like when we greet in Latino culture, it's normal to kiss somebody on the cheek or hug. Mm. And there's no sexual intent in that. It's just normal, right?
Yeah.
I would never do that to somebody that's white or Caucasian. They would think I'm a sexual predator, you know, like it's that drastic, right? Families are very tight knit. Family is everything, right? Hence why I talk with so much passion about my daughter and stuff, because that's what I bring on from my parents. You know what I mean? So that family unit, important. Like, I'm going to stay with my wife for the rest of my life. That is my goal, right? That is my main goal. You know what I mean? Negatives, I mean, everybody has negatives, obviously. I think, I definitely think we are, especially the male culture, can be a little misogynistic at times, right? Latino culture is very misogynistic. Latinos in America can sometimes be very entitled, if that makes sense, where they believe...
Like in what way?
They believe the government owes me something. The government owes me this. And this is what I admire about Indians, where Indians that come to America, they don't go, government, give me this. They go, let me start a business, or I'm going to become a doctor or a lawyer. Most of them come here and kill it. You know what I mean? And that's respectable. I'm not saying that all Latinos are like this, because clearly I'm not like that, right? But there is a tendency of Latinos being a little bit entitled, you know? But again, these are blanket statements, so I wouldn't judge every Latino like this. I'm giving you, because you asked me for negatives, and I'm thinking that's what would come to the top of my head.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I'm just asking for perspective. And going by how much I've studied about Latino culture, I see a lot of parallels between brown culture and Latino culture. Like, whether it's family, whether it's emotions, whether it's the whole hard work mentality, which I'm sure is there in America, but there's this kind of just relentless hard work mentality that comes when you're talking about brown people and Latinos. That's what
I know what it is? I think it's that we've tasted the dirt, right? If you're from India, I'm sure you've tasted what dirt is like, right? Just one generation ago, let's go back, I'm sorry, two generations ago, my mom came from a little town. It's called, you won't even know, it's called Barrosas, right? In Honduras, where it was dirt roads. I think she got electricity when she was a teen into this town. Mm. It was a town of, like, we're talking a little town out in the mountains. That's where my mom came from, right? Now her son's here. Just one generation ago, that was that. So when you, and I've been back to that town. So when you come from that, everything you do is up. And when you taste a little bit of up, you want more and more. Mm. But if you're born here, right, you're second, third generation Latino, or you're Caucasian, right? And all you know is excess, there is no hunger. You've had it all. Mm. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying, again, these are, I don't want to put a blanket statement because I'm sure there's hungry people out there. But for the most part, that's what I've noticed. You know, when you come from an impoverished area and you come from the dirt, you're hungry and you'll do anything you can to not starve.
Yeah, for sure. Which is why I want to ask you about your future plans, because I'm dead sure you've got a vision of where you're going, whether that's in terms of business ideas or just generally, you know, I'm sure you have like this crazy business you've thought of in your head that you want to run in the future. Man. But let's talk about that.
All right, so I've said this before. It's going to sound really ballsy, but I want to make $1 billion. That's my goal. I want to make $1 billion. I think that's the most impressive thing anybody can do. You were talking, the billionaires list is 2,600 people. If I can be on that list, I just did something that 0.00000001% of the population did. Impressive. Am I going to do it? I don't know. But I've always said this, and I've said this in my videos. See, I'm a practitioner of what I preach, right? I don't just say stuff in my videos just because I'm bored. And I've always said, especially when you set your goals, set them high, high, right? Like, if my goal would have just been 100 grand, I would have been complacent 7 years ago or whatever it was, right? And I'm good. And that's fine. Do whatever makes you happy. Having aggressive goals like this makes me happy. The sleepless nights and how to get to there makes me happy, right? The problem solving on how to get to there, that makes me happy. So do whatever makes you happy. But I think whatever goal and whatever field you're doing should be high, high, right? So I call it the North Star. And the way I see it is like, you go to the gym, right? You know when you're like, you're just beat, right? Your muscles are done. And in your head, you start fighting yourself. You're running a mile, right? You're like, oh, just slow down. Nobody's watching, right? You don't need to keep going. Bro, your muscles hurt. This is uncomfortable. That's what's going through your head, right? But then, I don't know if you have that same voice. Deep and down, you have another voice going like, just one more. Keep going. You're almost there. Just one, but it's very faint. I like listening to that voice because before you know it, when you look up, you're one step closer, right? So imagine this goal being like Mount Everest, right? The $1 billion is Mount Everest, right? Clearly I'm 7 miles away, whatever it is, right? But I just look down and it's one step more, one step more, one step more. Before you know it, I'm gonna look up and be like, crap, I'm a little bit closer. You know what I mean? I think that's why setting goals high is important. It keeps you hungry your whole life. As for businesses, you know, we have a lot of great businesses going on right now. Essentials is our, man, that's our baby. That's our 8-figure business. We did that in 2 years. TMF in itself is a multiple 7-figure business. We have Jade Black. We turned that into a 7-figure business in 1 year, 12 months with COVID.
As a guy alone, how are you managing all these things? Do you have like a leadership core? Do you do any of this stuff yourself? So for example, let's just take TMF, the channel where you come on screen and you talk about stuff. Have you reached a point now where you don't script yourself and you're just ready to go?
No, I don't trust anybody with that. so again, just the TMF business, we do about, again, it's relentless work ethic. We've talked about this, you know, already. You know, and I said this multiple times, like, I might not be the best looking guy, right? Or the richest guy, or have the best accent, right? Because I have a Latino accent. But I will work harder than anybody else. Guaranteed. I'm just hungry for it. And the thing is that, like, it's not only just hunger. You have to love what you do. Because it doesn't feel like working. And the great thing is that, now I'm getting a little bit diverted here, but again, this is why it's important to find the right partner, right? I love my wife. And she's very driven in on herself, right? She's starting to become a doctor, right? So she works a lot too. So it's this thing where like we're constantly motivating each other. And I found somebody that can actually grind next to me, it's the greatest thing you'll ever find once you find a girl that works perfectly for you, you know. And but it's relentless, bro. Like, I'll wake up, now I'm waking up at 4 a.m, believe it or not, right? So I used to wake up at 5:30. Now that I have a kid, I want to spend more time with her. So I try to come home earlier. So what do? I wake up even earlier to work longer during the day. I'm sleeping 6 hours a day, right? Mm-hmm. I'm working 18, right? I use four of them to spend with my family. Like, it's time management. The time's there. It's whether you want to do it or not. I have a very ambitious goal. I think 6 hours of sleep is going to cut it for me for now, you know, until I get there. But yeah, I just to give you an example, we do about 14 to 15 videos every week, both in English and Spanish, vlog channel, etc. I do all of them, all the scripting. Mm. I record. I only have, and I just got, we just got an editor. We're about to hire another one. We had editors before. Believe it or not, the editors couldn't keep up. The editors could not keep up with the video production. So what happened was that we took over backup editing, and I've been editing my own videos again with my brother for the last 3 months since we fired that editor, because he was getting our projects late. And I was like, this is ridiculous. I could do it myself, you know? We just hired another one. This guy's a beast, and we're going to hire another one again. So, you know, they can kind of work together.
You should consider hiring editors from India with the whole remote work situation.
You know, the only thing I can't, I thought about that, and I think we tried to hire a remote editor once. It just didn't work. We just have so much content, and I'm very picky with my stuff that I need you here. I couldn't do it remotely. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's my management style. I can't, right? Apart from that, believe it or not, we're a pretty small team doing everything. We got about 10 core employees. And then everybody else is something that we call independent contractors here in the States, which is pretty much that you hire them per project. So, for example, when we have these huge influxes of orders, we'll bring in about 20, 30 people just to pick and pack. But we do that sporadically. We don't just hold them on our payroll. You know what I mean? And that's just to save costs and stuff like that. But core employees that do, like, you know, the design, our influencer marketing team is about 4 girls, you know, the logistics, the warehouse, the front end, right? It's about 10.
But, like, in terms of managing each business, I'm guessing you've given it to, like, one person to, like, handle, like, maybe an eyewear business.
My brother does more of the day-to-day. Basically, the great thing with my brother and I is that we work as a great team. And we're different, which is good, right? So I'm more of, like, visionary, and I'm very... I like taking risk, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes they pay off, sometimes they don't. For example, we're building right now a massive, massive 30,000 square foot office in New York. I told you about that. Crazy expensive. Crazy. It's like... dream office, right? I believe it's going to help us grow, especially with our companies and the way they're going. We need certain talent for certain jobs. I think I can find them better there, better connections, better opportunities. In the long run, it's going to get me closer to where I want to be, right? It's a risk. Is it going to pay off? I have no idea. I like taking those type of risks. My brother's more conservative, which is great. You need that balance, right? Because you don't want to deplete all your revenue taking risk left and right. And he's also better for day-to-day management. Which is what he does. He kind of oversees them all, make sure everything's running smoothly, shipping, whatever it is, customer service department, you know. Basically what we do is every week on Fridays, we sit down with every single department together and just go over the week and then the plan for the next week. And then, you know, each department has a head, right? Influencer, shipping, logistics, customer service, they all have heads, video editing team, right? But overall, we're still the ones managing everything.
That's crazy. But right now in life, and I'm sure you get this a lot, and again, that's one of those parallels between brown and Latino culture. How many of your relatives or just people in your life criticize you for hustling too hard? Like, where people go like, hey, Jose, take a break.
The last one that I remember was my mom, and that criticized. She just said, like, yo, remember, you know, don't overwork and forget about your kids. And that's something I never want. I'd rather die poor with my family than become a billionaire and become that absent dad, right? Yeah, that to me is pathetic. I wouldn't have one at the end. I know I'd be unhappy. I want to be the billionaire and still be a great dad and husband. Hell of a pill to swallow, but that's what I want. So that's something that I always keep conscious in the back of my head. Right? That's what I told you. I wake up earlier just to ensure that I can get the work in, plus get my hours in with my family, you know? But believe it or not, my parents are very, especially my dad's a very hard worker. And I'm mostly closely with my nucleus or nuclear family, which is my dad, my mom, my sister, my brother. And since my sister and my brother are part of the enterprise as well, they're working just as hard, you know, like my sister's working on weekends now. But we all love what we do and it makes it fun, you know, and you're working with family. So technically you're still spending time with family. So, you know,
nice. Yeah. Have you ever considered what you're going to tell your daughter? You have a daughter, right?
Yes.
So how are you going to ensure that when she's growing up with like the millions and billions of dollars, how are you going to ensure that she still retains those old school Latino values of like hard work and grind?
I think the best thing is leading by example with kids, right? That's the best. I can't tell my kid work hard and dad's a couch potato. I can't tell my kid, hey, don't be obese or be healthy and dad never goes to the gym, right? I'll give you a good example. I work hard because I saw my dad working his ass off, right? He started making, I mean, again, pay is different in India, but here he was, his minimum wage, I think he used to make around $4 or $5 an hour, which here, just so you put that into perspective, is, and this was back in like early 2000s, that is nothing. Like you're eating dirt. I know over there it might be a little bit more, but here it was like dirt. And worked all his way. Now he's old and he's, you know, he's making really, really good money. He worked his way up on that company and just hustled. He started from like a almost janitor position and worked his way up. That's hard work for an immigrant that English isn't his first language, right? That I see. Also, my dad's 55 and he still keeps up with me in the gym. I've seen my dad work out ever since I was 4. He would always go to the gym. So guess what? I naturally am that same way. I'm always at the gym. I love hitting the weights. I love work. I feel better when I work out. My mood, my mind, my creativity, everything just is enhanced, right? I think all of that is influenced by, you know, or leading by example. I'll give you another great example. I don't drink. I don't drink alcohol, you know? I think it keeps my mind more sober and I just don't need it. I don't need to take the edge off of anything, right? I'm high off of life, period.
Yeah. I think Aaron Marino is the same. He doesn't drink. I don't drink either. Really? And I think there's a bunch of these like men's lifestyle influencers who don't. And I think it's this whole new wave that's taking over.
But I've never even been a drinking type of guy. Have I had alcohol? Yeah, but it's like, I just don't need it. Like if we're in a social situation, I don't need it to enjoy my time with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, I saw that from my dad. You know, my dad never, like there was never alcohol in the house. But it was mainly because his dad was like a crazy alcoholic. Like he was a legit alcoholic. Like he would get mad and hate you the whole night. So he's like, I'm not going to do that to my kids. So he led by example, right? Those are just a few surface level examples. So when it comes to my kid, it's the same way, right? If you want to be humble and understand the value of money, it's, you know, it's work hard. Cherish the things you have. But I have to show her that first. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
But I have definitely thought about it a lot. Because it's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope.
Where does your whole spiritual aspect of things fit into all this? How do you define your spiritual life?
I'm a Christian. So I'm a Christian. Obviously, you know, I believe in God. Jesus Christ is my savior. Like I said, I think God is the reason why I'm even here. I don't think I know, right? Every opportunity, you know, the strength to be here, the grind, the want, the everything comes from him, right? Just to even be alive is a blessing, right? And when it came to that point where I was this close to quitting, I would have been a regular dude today if I would have decided to be like, you know what, I'm throwing in the towel, screw this. And just something that night, it was at nighttime, something at night, that night told me, just try one more time. Kind of like that voice in the gym, right? This is uncomfortable. I don't like this. This hurts. It literally hurt. Like I felt like a failure. And if you haven't felt that type of failure of like poverty or failing a business, I don't think you'll know what I'm talking about. But when your whole family, you know, thinks you're this entrepreneur, you tell everybody, oh, I'm going to be this entrepreneur. And you're just a failure. Like it hurts. You feel it sucks, you know, but something in the back of my head, you know, said one more time. And I think that something was gone. And because I chose to do so, you know, 5 years later, I looked up and like, crap, I'm here, right? But spirituality-wise, you know, I put it first, both my marriage and my business, everything. God's first.
Yeah, you know? For sure. I have a Philippians 4:13 tattoo.
Oh, there you go.
Because of the same, it's the same thought process, man. Yeah. I do feel like, you know, that's one thing that's not acknowledged in the world of entrepreneurship. You do need that, what people now call an SQ, which is a spiritual quotient, just as the underlying layer behind like all the hustle.
Yeah.
Which is also what I want to ask you now, you know, when you have tough days at work, do you turn to your spiritual side? What happens? Do you vent out? Do you cry at all to your wife? Or like, you know, do you, like, what happens on like the worst days?
I tend to bottle things in. But one thing, so yes, definitely. I always turn to God every time. And the good and the bad, right? I'll give you a great example with Essentials this last launch. Because of COVID, I was really, really, really projecting the worst. And with the worst, I would have been happy. I would have been, I was like, I can understand why these numbers look like this, right? Every pandemic. When I saw our numbers and saw that it was basically just as good as last launch after such a severe pandemic, I turned to God and I said, thank you. This is incredible. You know, it shouldn't have been this way. But in the bad times as well. But one thing that I do on top of praying and all that stuff, I like to write. I like to write a lot, both in the bad times and in the good times. So again, when I was in that dark hole where I just felt like that failure, that I just really wanted to quit, I have a journal entry from that date where I was just like, yo, this is horrible. And every time I read it, I feel like I'm that kid again. But the interesting part is that when I read my journal and you just go page by page, by page, you always see this, right? This hockey puck happening, right? And I just write like, dang, this month was incredible. But I'll even, I save my bank statements from those months. So I have bank statements from like 20, let's say 13 of this month, which was incredible, right? I saved my last year tax return, or my last year P&L statement for the business. It's in my journal, right? Because it was our best year. We did this incredible jump from the previous year. So the great thing with that journal is that when you do feel like crap, you know, when you feel like just down, you go back and you read and you're like, yo, even in my down right now, I'm way better than I was before. And then kind of back to that little voice, keep going, right? Because the only thing that I've learned around this whole time, keep going.
Yeah,
it's gonna pop off, right? Keep putting that effort.
So, brother, you have a very like motivational vibe. You know, you're a motivated guy, and I feel like you look at the positive side of things, which is like a true son of God, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I also want to ask you, I'm not asking you this for you to go into a bad zone. But this is just to give the viewers and audiences some perspective, because there's a young Jose Zuniga somewhere listening to this.
Yeah.
So what's one negative aspect of your life right now? Like after you've accomplished all that you've accomplished, is there anything that you'd like to improve other than work, other than business?
I think, again, I wouldn't say my life, thankfully, I've just been blessed, you know, with a beautiful family and, you know, with our businesses. But when it came to, let's say on a personal level, I think nobody's perfect. Nobody. Right? And no matter how perfect they look, everybody's battling with something. I think for me, it would be one of my personality traits. Kind of like that impulsive risk taker that I talked about has a negative side to that, you know?
Yeah.
Tagged on to that, I have like anger problems. And it's not all the time, right? But it's very easy for me to lose my temper. It's very easy for me to be impulsive, which is not a good thing. And that's probably the one thing that I always battle with. And I always am conscious of, right? Where I'm like, you know, relax, think about it, then act. I tend to act. And then I think about it, and then I'm like, that was retarded. That's probably my biggest challenge. Especially when I get angry or when I'm mad. Because when you're mad, you don't think right. It's like you get blinded, you know? And I think that's my biggest challenge, where I constantly try to fight against my own nature. And talking about parenting, right? My dad was the same way. My dad was very impulsive. When he would get mad at me, it was like anger, throwing stuff at me. Why would you do that? Right? Let's say I did something stupid. I saw that, right?
Yeah.
So then
yeah.
I act the same way. Very physical, very, and it's not a positive. It's a negative.
Yeah.
But I think as a dude, you and I, we should always look at our negatives and figure out, right, how can we improve this? In the same way, I looked at my style one day and I was like, all right, how can I improve this? Or I looked at my body one day and say, how can I improve this? Nobody's perfect, right? I was a scrawny, 140-pound, big-headed little dude, right? Work on it, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's the one thing where outside of business, outside of family and everything, personally, just fixing my own personality traits to try to become better.
Yeah.
I think another thing where I lack, damn, I feel like you're my psychiatrist here, bro.
that's all good, but all this is a part of spirituality, man. It's a part of the spiritual journey.
I think I need to be more compassionate. I'm very compassionate to people that are in a bad situation or weak, and by that I mean, let's say, maybe somebody that's homeless or somebody that was just dealt a bad deck, right? A bad hand in life. But when it comes to regular people, for some reason, I'm not a compassionate guy. I'm not an emotional guy, which is not a good thing also. I think we should always be compassionate for one another. And that's something also that I work on constantly.
This is also the curse of being an entrepreneur, because once you get into entrepreneurship, once you figure that, oh, I should do this, then you try breaking it down completely. But, you know, it's just that I feel that because you're a spiritual dude and, you know, there is that, while there's that chase for the billionaire mark, there's also a clear chase for spiritual growth. And all these holes will be plugged, like, as you keep growing, man. Like,
100%.
You grow materially and spiritually together.
100%. You know, and again, they're just goals. If you don't reach them, that's fine. Keep moving. Keep growing.
Yeah, I also feel that this is something that Indian culture can learn from American culture, which is like, you know, for lack of a better word, like a cutthroat mentality, like a Michael Jordan mentality, like go and get it. Like,
yeah.
You watched The Last Dance?
Yes.
The Last Dance does a lot for you as a person. Like, it'll really fire you up to go and get something. And you've got a lot of that same fire in you, man.
Thank
like,
you, bro.
You can totally
it.
See it.
And kind of like what I was saying, I think Indian culture and, again, lower countries like where I came from and stuff like that, there's a lot of people with that mentality because of where they come from.
Yeah.
Right? In the same way Michael Jordan, you know, he was a poor kid. Right?
Yeah,
so once you taste success even a little bit, you want to do everything you can to not go back to being that poor kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think our cultures do a great job of bringing that out in people, you know?
Yeah.
We're really, really hard workers. Whereas when you're born in such a privileged, because I love America. United States, to me, greatest country in the world, right? It's filled with opportunities. It gave me every opportunity I have, but I worked for it, right? I just can't see myself getting a handout. And it's because it's not what I saw from my parents. It's work, work. They came here with nothing, $0 in their pockets, started dirt jobs, literally dirt jobs, right? Work. Not once did my parents get a handout from the government.
Yeah, for sure. But I also feel America itself has a role to play in getting you motivated, which is my last question to you on this podcast. Could you give like Indian people some reference points from American culture? For example, The Last Dance and studying Michael Jordan could be one. But I'm sure that you as a guy have grown up with certain motivation. So whether that's movies, music, TV shows, something that you'd recommend that people watch for mindset building.
Because there's a lot of like famous, you know, people that are motivating, right? Like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I can watch his motivational videos all day long. Like when I feel down, I'll watch one of his videos and just be like, damn, get back to it. Like, why are you whining, right? Which is something, by the way, that's kind of like a little tip that I do. Anytime I feel down, like, because nobody's always fully motivated, right? Nobody's always fully fueled. That's a lie if they tell you that. You're only fully fueled when you're going up, right? But when it's tumbling, it's hard to keep that motivation sometimes. Or like when you're creatively, you just can't think. It's hard. So watching those videos always like had to spark me up. I think I'll leave it on two things. There's one guy that I really, really enjoy listening to, and his name is David Goggins. Not sure if you've heard of him.
Yeah, I read Marine, his book. The guy who was in the
Yes, I don't know if you've read his book. His philosophy pretty much lines up with what I've learned, right? Kind of what I was telling you about my journal, right? That once I look at my journal, the only thing that I can think of is that I just kept going, right? Like one more step, even though it felt horrible at that one point, one more step, keep pushing. So he has this thing where he says that, he calls it the 40% rule. And he says basically that when you feel done, whether it's emotionally, mentally, or physically in the gym, you're only 40% there, right? You still got 60% in the tank, but your brain is protecting you, right? Your brain doesn't want you to go through pain, whether it's emotional or physical. And he always talks about that, just pushing. I think that mentality is amazing. I really resonate with that. Like, I always think about that. Like, when you think you've... That's why when we started this podcast, I told you, I don't feel like I'm even successful. I don't even think I'm 40% there. I might be 5% there. Not even. Right?
Yep.
Keep going. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm taking energy drinks by 2 o'clock. Right now, this is my crash point. By 2 to 3, like, my eyes are closing. Energy drink. Keep going. You know what I mean? But I really resonate that. So anybody that's going through anything tough, right, that you feel like, I can't take this anymore. There's somebody that has it tougher. There's somebody that has it worse. And just know, you could probably endure a lot more than what you think. And then the final thing I'll leave it on is, there's this quote, funny enough. So I'm on my laptop right now, and I have this little post-it on the corner of my laptop with a bunch of quotes, both Bible verses, which I love the book of Proverbs, has a lot of wisdom. But there is this verse that Martin Luther King said one time, and I really like it. Well, he said two, but I'm going to just give you one. Basically, he said, a man should do his job so well that the living, the dead, and the unborn could do it no better. Whatever you do in life, I don't care if you're a teacher, missionary, YouTuber, entrepreneur, whatever it is, right? You got to do it so damn well that nobody could do it better. And when he told this story, he was talking about a janitor that every day he would go in and make sure he cleaned those floors better than anybody else. That's all you got to do. Work hard.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jose. Yeah. This was fun. This is motivational.
Yeah, it was fun, bro. Hey, thank you
like,
for having
me. I feel like going for a workout right now. I think I'm going to shoot some videos after this. Thank you, brother.
Hey, thank you for having me, bro. Appreciate you.
I will link all of Jose's handles down below, guys. Make sure you follow, make sure you subscribe, and good luck. I think you're going to achieve like everything you've set out to achieve, man. You've got everything that's required, including blessings from above.
So amen, that's brother. What I'm going to leave amen. You with. Thank you, bro. Appreciate you. Good Thank you for having me.
Likewise. See you, brother.